Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're excited today. We're going to welcome back a gentleman who was with us last week. His name is Carlisle Kane. If you heard that show, you know it was really very, very interesting indeed. He is the chief executive of Set Free Consulting in Atlanta, Georgia. He's the principal. And it's a distinguished business consulting and coaching firm, which is the focal point of our show today. Carlisle is also the author of an amazing book called Quick and Effective Business Breakthroughs. We're going to learn all about his remarkable journey through his many hardships that he had and health challenges, but eventually, he has succeeded, and succeeded big time. It was an amazing story that we heard last week, and we're going to learn more today because he has Michael LaManna, who's with us today. He's an author in his own right who's written a book called Turn Your Business into a High-Performing Machine. And we're going to examine individual business mindsets and strategies for achieving personal and professional goals. We're all going to learn something about this today. Carlisle always leaves his audience with a valuable insight. As he points out, he says, don't worry about being right, worry about getting it right. And he encourages a focus on gathering information and using it very effectively to achieve success. Carlisle is with us. We'll begin with Carlisle, and let's talk to Carlisle. Why don't you recap a little bit, Carlisle, for those folks who did not hear the show last week, a little bit about what you covered in that show. I think it was really amazing. I wish everybody could have heard it, but obviously that didn't happen. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure, Doug. So I was actually raised in family businesses, so I've been in business of one kind or another my whole life, but when my wife and I were first married and moved to Atlanta, I started building a contracting business, first as a painting contractor, then as a general contractor. And then I built a retail conglomerate while I was still running the general contracting business. And then later, I went into the real estate development business, which is where I ended up becoming very successful. God smiled on us, and it seemed like everything we did just came up golden. At the top of that game, we actually had $2.6 billion in assets. That's billion with a B. A lot of people get million and billion confused. If you stack $100 bills on top of each other, $1 million is 18 inches high, but $1 billion is 1,500 feet high. So there's a pretty big difference in those two numbers. And so we were really rolling. Things were going great. And, there's three parts to my story, as I think Doug mentioned. That's the first part, is building that business. And it was a lot of fun and had a lot of success. But then things changed. One day I had a chest pain in my office and ended up going through a bunch of diagnostic testing and found out that I had lung cancer, and did some research, realized that less than 6% of the people that have lung cancer are going to survive 5 years. So it wasn't going to be easy, but I also just had the sense that God wasn't done with me yet. So I went through treatment, had the majority of one of my lungs removed, and went through some really nasty chemo. But while all that was going on, the real estate development business and the construction business in the country, countrywide, basically just collapsed. And mm-hmm. So with my health being what it was really difficult, and I ended up with a total financial collapse before it was over. So that's kind of the second part of my story, is first we made it, then we lost it, and then the third part is how I ended up where I am today, kind of rebuilding. It was pretty amazing. It was first of all, it was horrible at first, going through all of that. But my faith never wavered. My faith in God never wavered. A lot of people compare my story to that of Job from the Bible. And I know Job didn't know he was being tested, but all of us know that he was being tested. And so we tend to think about the tests that Job went through. But I never felt like I was being tested. I never felt like I was being punished. I just felt like it was something that I had to go through. I was never angry with God about it. He was always clearly there for me, supporting me as I went through this really miserable time. And then my wife was just a rock in our family and in my life. And she was really the key to getting me through the cancer and rebuilding my business. And that business is successful today, and it really focuses on helping others. I had a lot of friends when I was rolling in the money that I thought were true friends, but it turned out that the vast majority of them were really about being friends with my money more than me. So you learn about true friends when you go through something like that. Now, you know, I know. Go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to ask you. You built the business, and then, you know, everything happened. Things kind of fell apart, and then you built it back up again. Was it harder the second time, or was it easier the second time?
I don't think that it was harder, but I went about it differently. The first time, I was definitely in an empire-building mindset where I was willing to work as many hours as I needed to. I would do whatever it took in order to achieve the next step that I was trying to get to. The second time, I had a very different mindset. It was that I wasn't going to create so much stress in my life that I ended up getting cancer again. I wasn't going to fail to show up for family things that were going on. And I hate to say, but in the initial phase of building my empire in the beginning, I did miss a lot of family things that I wish I hadn't missed. So I just went about it in a completely different fashion the second go-round with a different mindset. And it probably took me longer to rebuild as a result of doing it that way. But it was a much happier, more settled, less chaotic venture the second time around. So for the last several years, I've been...
It's an amazing story you tell. I'm looking at a copy of your book, you know, in the front of it, you know, Quick and Effective Business Breakthroughs. I love where you say, I can find any business at least $10,000 in less than an hour. Can you really do that? Have you proven that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, amazing. We can do that. So I've been operating the consulting and coaching business now for a number of years. And what I do is I focus on making these improvements to help other business. Basically, they're small improvements. They're like 3 to 5% improvements in a variety of areas. I usually focus on 12 to start with. And if you make an improvement of 3% in 12 different areas in a business, you'll basically double their profit. And it has cost them very little to do. And it also isn't disruptive because there are minor changes that need to be made in order to accomplish that. So, yeah, we have been successful in doing that.
Very, very good. Michael, let me ask you a question. Talk to me a little bit about your consulting business, Precision 180. How did you start that business? Hey, Michael, are you there? Oh, wait. Whoa. That was my fault there, Michael. I didn't turn your mic on. No wonder we didn't hear you. All right, talk to me a little bit about that. How did you start your business?
Yeah, Doug, so thanks. So during my 30-year career, which 15 of it was Cisco Systems, the Internet heyday, I owned several software and hardware companies. You know, I learned focusing on, as Carlisle said, you know, the keys to the business is instrumental. So if you definitely work on what Carlisle and I have honed is 10 to 12 keys, we can really turn a business around without all the disruption, right? So I've been approached many times during my career with business owners that needed help and what issues they were facing. So by engaging with business owners, having an open dialogue, mapping out and focusing on the keys, from getting them from working in the business to working on the business drives great results for not only their business but for their team and their customers. And literally, this generally takes 3 to 5% of their entire week to drive these results. This is why and how I started Precision 180. I felt, and after talking to people and the feedback I was getting from my clients, that it was clearly a great opportunity to really help small businesses.
Well, obviously it's working very well for you. How did you two get together? And talk to me a little bit about that, the connection between the two of you.
So, yeah, Michael and I met through just a common business associate, but we quickly realized that we had a lot in common. We have the commonality of our faith and a desire to make sure that our efforts are benefiting others. And that's something that he and I focus on. We talk about it constantly. When somebody comes to us and they want our help, if we don't feel like we're going to be able to deliver for them, we're not going to take their money. We're not in this just to get their money. We're in this to help them achieve their goals. And so he and I are both totally focused on that. Would you agree with that, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. You know, as Carl I mentioned, we've known each other for several years through a mutual business associate, and I am truly blessed to have Carl in my life, full stop. You hear that an awful lot, and I hear that with my friends, but I must tell you, Carlisle is one of those keys and gems that have been in my life. It makes me better, my family better, my business better, and of course, we talk a lot about faith and really where we're focused, and that really helps us drive in the same direction to benefit others, which has been a blessing both professionally and personally. So Carlisle's just been instrumental in my growth.
Yeah, I find it amazing. Both of you have written books. At what point did you decide to write a book, Michael? Were you following Carlisle, or how did that work?
Well, I always wanted to publish a book on business specifics. I keep hearing these little tidbits all the time, right? And I finally started jotting some notes down, and I've never been a real big note taker per se, or drafting notes or writing or things like that. With my dyslexia, I really focused on kind of speed reading through things. And I figured out that, look, if I focus on the key principles that drive a business forward with purpose and direction, we can really better frame the business and drive the business to profitability, also operationally. And really, a lot of it has to do with customer engagement and their employees. So from that perspective, I decided just to chunk it down in chapters, which I've never been a writer, but it made perfect sense to me to kind of put my thoughts down and really solidify my thoughts, and people have really gravitated toward that. So I'm blessed about that.
Well, the book is called Turn Your Business into a High-Performing Machine. Are you offering a lot of information there that wasn't available, at the time in any other book? I mean, would that be the big thing that would attract people to want to read the book?
Well, Doug, as you know, there's a bazillion books on how to help businesses and personally and professionally.
Right.
What I think we do is, we really focus on the basics. We don't try to boil the ocean, and we really try to figure out, we've really kind of figured out how to approach a business owner. And if they're willing and wanting to change their business, it makes it a whole lot easier to really engage them. So is there insight? Absolutely. As Carlisle said, these 10 or 12 things that we work on immediately do not take a lot of time, is not disruptive, and it goes right down to the profitability. And as everybody knows, cash flow is king, right? You have to really fix your profitability problems and stabilize the foundation so you can move on. Whether you want to grow in small increments or large increments, you have to do that. And the only way you do that is get the visibility, right? You cannot hide in the day-to-day slog of the day. You've really got to pick up, get your organization working in the business while you're working on the business.
I'm prompted to ask you, each one of you, talk to me a little bit about the difference between business consulting and business coaching. There is a difference, but tell me. Michael, let me start with you. Then we'll come to you, Carlo.
Yeah, so that's a great question because when people talk about business consulting and coaching, I look at it as kind of a melting pot, frankly. It's really about looking at the needs of the business and figuring out what we need to do. And I may not have all the expertise, like I'm not a tax lawyer, so or a tax consultant. I may need to bring a tax consultant in. So that's kind of how we approach the businesses. What do they need, and how do we get them the right resources to really change their business?
How about you, Carla? How would you describe the difference between consulting and coaching?
Well, they're obviously very related. To me, the difference is sometimes a business needs an overall new direction when they really do need 10 or 12 things that change them 3 to 5% like we've been talking about, and you make this huge difference on the bottom line. I would consider that coaching because you're really covering so many different bases. What I call consulting is more when you have a specific project that a company's asking you to achieve for them. An example would be something that I'm doing right now for a company that's a global, there's a global heavy equipment manufacturer that has a sales arm here in the southeast of the country, and they've asked me to help them identify potential new sites for new locations and then negotiate to purchase them, hire the architects and engineers, hire the contractors, manage the project, and get them moved into the new site. So that's more of a consulting engagement as opposed to an overall coaching engagement, if that makes sense to you.
No, it does. Makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you, what brings companies to both of you? What's a typical picture of your clients? I gather they're pretty big organizations, not small companies. Am I right, or am I totally wrong on that?
Well, actually, Michael and I are as excited to work with a $2 million company as we are to work with a $250 million year company. We like helping others make a change. It gets us both excited. And so I think what brings them to us is usually they've heard something about us. They know something that we've done in the past, or we've met them at some sort of a business function, and after a conversation, they realize that we're sincere about wanting to help them improve their business, and they hear something about the methodology that we're going to use that resonates with them, so then they end up engaging us to move them forward.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, the various services you offer, because it's a long list of services that it seems to me some of these are rather unique. I mean, obviously, strategic planning, you do that, collaborative groups, internal motivation of the staffs, employee development. That's something that I find kind of unique for a firm like you to be doing, to helping another company. Talk about that aspect. That sounds very important, employee development.
Well, it definitely is, and I'm going to let Michael speak to that also, but we have a very sophisticated set of tools that we use to go in and evaluate the employees. We use the DISC, we use the Attribute Index, the Values Index, and really determine whether or not they're even in the right slot within the company. They may have a lot of value for the company, but they may not be in exactly the right slot. So what we do is we analyze what the people are all about, what makes them tick, and where they would be best suited within the organization, and then often end up making change as a result of that. Does that sound right to you, Michael? Do you have something to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. And Doug, if I step back just a little bit, just to give you a few stats, what these small to medium business owners are going through. Currently, there's 33.1 million small businesses in the U.S. There's about 5 million that start every year. The problem with that is there's about 1.1 million that go under every year. And most of the time, people are just afraid to raise their hand. And once they realize they can raise their hand, because most business owners feel like they have to do it all on their own, and they don't. When they partner with us, they feel relieved that, wow, I can get some help here. I am still the subject matter expert in my field and in my business, but I can get some help to really drive my business. Going back to employees, employees are a key to your business, right? Everybody keeps talking about how difficult it is to keep employees. Realize there's so many 1099 employees that are coming into the workforce these days. It's really essential And we give them tools on how to really deal with them and really how to work with them and how to motivate them and how to make sure they feel a part of what you're doing and really buy into what you're doing, whether they're a part-time or full-time 1099. And that really, really helps a business out. It gives them purpose. It gives them vision. And it really improves the overall business. And, you know, when you have 1099 people, they're still customer-facing. You need to make sure that they are clearly aligned with your vision and your messaging. So that's some of the things we do on the employee side.
What happens when a client comes to you know, sign up for your services? How do you begin with them? What are the first steps? Obviously, you've got to do a deep dive into your client and what their business is all about, right? And what it's like. Talk to me about
that. Absolutely. And like I said, we usually start by using sophisticated assessment tools, both on the individuals and also on the business itself. And once we've determined where everyone is at within the organization and whether it's a good fit, then we look at where the organization is at in terms of the things that they're currently doing and look at their goals and determine whether or not what they're doing now lines up with what their long-term goals are. Once we realize what needs to change, we make that through the assessments, we make the determination of what needs to change. We have a methodology that we use, which is really a facilitation, and we do it in a way that the employees, the people that need to make the change, have the definite perception that it's their idea. That way they own it. Rather than us coming in with a big report and plopping it down that tells them what they need to do differently and say, here, do these things and you'll be better, we actually work with them, like I said, in a way so that they come to the realization themselves as to what needs to happen. And we let, as much as possible, we want them to really have it be their idea. Although we're obviously leading them in the direction we know they need to go, but we want them to own it.
Go ahead, Doug. Didn't mean to interrupt you there. Go ahead, Carlisle.
Yeah, you know, Carlisle is spot on with that. You know, one of the things we learn is, yes, we have to do an assessment, but we get to work right away. Most companies we deal with are dealing with cash flow and profitability issues. And as we're doing an assessment, we attack those problems head on as we're going through the evaluation process to figure out how we could line up the issues with your vision and make sure we can not only knock those down one by one, but also drive to the vision and the growth they want to do. A lot of people want to grow just a little bit. A lot of folks want to really blow it out. But what you have to do is first fundamentally get the foundation solid from a cash flow profitability standpoint. And it, you know, it's all about the dollars and cents. And then you could build on top of that your services, your procurement, how you deliver to customers, how you talk to customers, and how you deliver your services and products.
Let me ask you to give me a success story. It's often interesting to hear how companies, you know, come to someone like you, and you really do help them turn around, and they become really great, great successes. Do you have anything on top of your mind that would be a great success story of one of your clients? I don't need any names, but an example.
Sure. I had a recent one that I felt really good about, and again, it isn't because it was a huge operation. We, like I was saying before, we get excited about helping people, and this particular person was a therapist, and they had a practice that was doing okay, but really they needed to expand in order to reach their full potential, and they're at a point where they were thinking about retirement in 10 or 15 years and realized that at the pace they were going, they weren't going to have the kind of retirement that they really wanted. So I was able to raise her visibility through putting a website in place, getting articles published for her, and some other strategic changes to basically make her a lot more visible when anybody was looking for her. But one of the main changes that I made is she was on certain insurance platforms that didn't really pay very well. And so I got her off from all those low-paying platforms and got her on, created the better profiles for her on better-paying platforms, And that move alone doubled her average income per session. So between raising her overall visibility and helping her potential clients better understand how she could help them and raising the amount she was being paid per session, her business was transformed into one that could help her reach her financial goals. So it wasn't a huge mega client, but it was a huge success in that she is just ecstatic at the result of our work together. And that's always my goal. If I don't walk away with my client being super, super happy, then I don't feel like I've been successful.
Yeah, you've made that very clear in your books and things of that nature. That's really good. Talk to me, gentlemen, about the symbiotic and complementary nature of your relationship. Obviously, it's very effective, but talk a little bit about that. Michael?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things I've learned is just like the business owners we assist, you know, at times it's tough to ask for help, especially when you're running a business, because you feel like you have to do it on your own. And with Carlisle, I've been able to share with him, you know, the funny thing is, Doug, is Carlisle and I are on the phone two or three, four times a day. Which usually we start the day getting on a phone call about talking about what's going on for the day, which customers we're helping that day, or it's even on the personal level. We've both gone through some personal things in the last several years and continue to go through them that we want to grow. So it's really nice to have somebody that I can have full confidence in and really, really kind of expose myself. And you know, I'm not a perfect guy, so it's great to have somebody to lean on to help me with that.
Go ahead. Keep going.
I was just going to say, I think one of the reasons our relationship works so well is because we're totally honest with each other. We say things to each other that aren't necessarily would always be considered kind or nice, but because we both know what the objective is, that we're just trying to help each other, simply out of love that we will correct each other. And so as a result, I think that we're really able to help each other more than people in normal business relationships do, because they pull the punch, if you will. And we don't do that.
Yeah.
We're brutally honest.
And how this kind of rolls into our clients, Doug, is pretty simple. You know, we all know businesses, owners, or people that are running businesses want assistance and need assistance. And it's, as I said, it's always tough to ask. However, if you put into perspective, let's say like a professional athlete, they have coaches throughout their careers, whether it's for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, or ongoing, right? Why? Because they want to produce the maximum production and profitability. Yeah, athletes want profitability. One of the reasons why they're doing what they're doing is they want to be on top of their game and they want to be profitable. And how do they do that? They get help. So once we engage, we really look to solve the problems and drive profitability and the growth of the company faster than they can imagine doing it on their own.
Well, I think this has been very interesting hearing. One other question I want to ask you, you got about a minute left. What kind of advice would you have to give any of our listeners who are listening today? Carlisle, how about that?
Well, I mean, you kind of hit it in the very beginning as far as my mantra, and that is focus on getting it right, not necessarily being the one with the right answer. So many people want to say something and have that be the correct answer. I don't worry about that. I worry about, in the end of the day, did we come up with the right answer? And I think that's important. I also think Stephen Covey, I read one of his books a long time ago, and it stuck with me so incredibly well because it's correct. Do what's important, not what seems urgent. Don't worry about the list of 30 emails. You know, do what's important.
Gentlemen, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for being with us today. Carlisle, your website is setfreeconsulting.com, and Michael, your website is precision180.com. We thank you very much for being with us. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you, guys. Okay?
Thank you for having us, Doug.
You are very welcome.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We certainly do. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and that's it for this edition, everybody. See you next time.